business owner? Entrepreneur? Want to learn how online marketing can improve your business?
Your questions. Our advice.
This is Not a Real Job.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 9 of Not a Real Job, which is a podcast about social media and digital marketing and websites and I don't know, whatever else we feel like talking about. I am Chris Van Patten, and I am a website designer and product developer, entrepreneur, whatever you want to call me, in New York City.
And I am Joel Kelly, and I do social media for tourism and travel brands in Nova Scotia, Canada.
Awesome. So last week we were sort of talking about the value of metrics like liking and following and sort of figuring out what's a like worth, what's a follow worth, all that kind of stuff. And I think we sort of left off at a good point where there's maybe more to say. And I know you have some ideas here.
Yeah, I think definitely. And it all came together kind of perfectly this week. Do you know about Gaping Void?
Yes. Chris?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Hugh McLeod, who does gapingvoid.com, he's a cartoonist. He's a advertising copywriter turned cartoonist turned, you know, entrepreneur and writer about business and advertising. Very smart guy. He does a daily newsletter where he sends out one of his cartoons, and his cartoons are often about business and about marketing. And the one that really connected with me this week is it's a very simple drawing. We'll put it in the show notes, and it simply says, "What gets measured gets done." And when I read that, I immediately said, yes, of course, that's perfect. That's what we talk about all the time. And I ordered a print of it to go in my office because I think it really kind of connects with everything we talked about in the last episode. Like, what you measure is what you do. And I think the importance of that is about that measurement. It's not about it's not about kind of trying to figure out what you're supposed to be doing. It's not about trying to figure out where you should be putting your time. It really, all it means is that if you want to get something done, you need to measure it. If you want to have success, you need to measure whether you're succeeding. If you want to make more money, you need to measure every day whether you've made money today. And that's, for me, it's just a great way of inspiring myself and my team and, you know, my clients to really become more and more successful and to really focus on measurement. Because even though sometimes it's hard to look at those numbers, ignoring them doesn't make anything better.
I also like how that's phrased, that, you know, what you measure is what you do, because I think it sort of says that you have if you want to do the right things, you have to measure the right things. So if you measure your followers and your likes and your retweets and all that kind of, you know, what we talk about is vanity metrics, then your entire campaign is going to be built around vanity, which is, maybe that's right for you. I don't, you know, want to put it down, but it's not right. but you know, chances are good that if you're focused on the vanity metrics, you're going to be working on those metrics and trying to increase those metrics. And it's going to be obvious to the people who do care, which is going to hurt you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how often do you accidentally make huge progress? I mean, yeah, it can happen. You can through luck accomplish lots in your life, but it's rarely a good plan to bank on that sort of thing. You might win the lottery, but it's a terrible retirement plan. So, you know, it's the same thing with your marketing. Like, you might, you know, strike it big by accidentally doing something brilliant, you know, even though you weren't measuring or trying, but that's a terrible, terrible plan to make. Instead, if you actually want to succeed, you need to make slow, steady progress in a single direction. And that's all about measurement. I mean, that's what I tell my clients all the time. It's like, we are focused on slow, steady progress. And I do use the word slow, you know, not to scare them off, but to kind of get their heads in the right place. That if something changes rapidly, it's probably a bad sign, not a good sign. You know, a giant bit of growth means a spike, which is followed by
rapid is not reliable.
Exactly. Spikes are a problem. They're not a solution. We want to see, you know, upticks over time, that steady growth. You know, even if you have a stock, you know, spikes, you know, it's going to be followed by a dip. you know, it was when BlackBerry, you know, launched their new phone and their stock spiked. I mean, anyone with half a brain knew what was coming next. And it's the same thing with your marketing. Like, if you're chasing things that will lead to spikes, very brief moments of either boosting your vanity metrics or even very brief moments of making revenue, if you're able to make a ton of money in a tiny amount of time, it means you're probably doing something terrible. Like did you get a Groupon and suddenly, you know, make tons of revenue in a day that, you know, you're going to end up with a net loss and no, you know, sustained customers. So that's all about that measurement. I think companies that do Groupons are probably the types of companies that don't like to measure their revenue every day because it makes them worried. They just want to find whatever the secret is and not have to worry about making slow, steady progress. They want to avoid the pain of working at it.
Yeah, 100%. Groupon is a very interesting example because there's a business that is built around those kind of, you know, one-off revenue opportunities. And you hear so often that it just doesn't pan out. You know, a business will either sell a bunch of Groupons and then no one will actually come in, which I guess is probably the best position to be in, or they're going to sell a lot of Groupons and then have a bunch of Groupons get used and then no one's going to keep coming. You're not building long-term relationships there.
No, absolutely. Groupon got the customers it deserved. I mean, Groupon's business model was effectively, we're going to spend $2 in marketing for every $1 we make in revenue. I mean, that's what their whole deal was. They spent so much money trying to acquire customers, and the customers they attracted were the same mindset of, let's spend a ton of money to buy ourselves a handful of customers. No one, people who used the Groupon to help their business didn't return. No one did it again. Effectively, no one. I'm sure it's statistically negligible, the amount of companies who did two Groupons. And the people who go into a business because they got a coupon, and especially the deep, deep discounted coupons that Groupon allowed you to get, those people aren't coming back either. So two very similar businesses, you know, join together every time a Groupon comes together. People who are willing to spend way more money on acquiring a customer than that customer will ever spend on them. And that all gets back to what gets measured gets done. And if you're measuring your business success based on customers through the door and not net revenue, you can get as many customers through the door as you want. You can buy as many customers as you can afford. You know, and if that's what you're measuring, then great, but it's stupid.
I'm going to go back to Groupon again because you've piqued my interest here. It's like you said, Groupon being a business that is spending too much money acquiring customers, or the business that wants to do that. And then the businesses that they service or that they sell for are businesses who probably want to do too little to acquire customers. So it's just an interesting dichotomy there.
Anyway. Yeah, it's just a lot of people desperate for customers without. I mean, it's easy from afar to judge, you know, the business. And of course, there's lots of smart people trying to do the right thing at every business involved there. But it just comes back to measurement.
And figuring out where does it fit in your strategy?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, doing a Groupon isn't necessarily a sign of a bad business, but it's almost never a sign of a good business. So,
yeah,
you know, judge accordingly. So I think as far as on measurement, maybe for these two episodes, that's probably enough, because I know you and I could go in circles on this forever, since it's, you know, obviously something that's close to us. But what I wanted to also talk about was, you know, kind of getting a bit more close to home and, you know, practicing what we preach a bit. You recently redid your personal website.
I did.
And it looks great. I think it's awesome. Do you want to talk a little bit about the changes you made and why you made them?
Sure. Just get me started here. I'll talk for weeks. So I have a long and complicated history with my personal website, because it is my personal website. And as a designer myself, I tended to spend way more time building, you know, and trying to figure out what I wanted the site to look like was just a huge involved process, because I do have that sort of designer creative brain thing going on. So, I mean, since I've had it, and I've had this domain for nearly a decade now, which is kind of crazy. It's gone through countless redesigns. Actually, I recently came across a bunch of old files and a couple of the old ones are in there, and it's just kind of amazing that I care so much about that. Or maybe not amazing, but because, you know, that's who I am. But anyway, it's almost as long as I've had it, I've had some component of my personal website powered by WordPress, because that's what I know, and that's what Van Patten Media focuses on. That's what we do. So it made sense for me to be doing it too. But about, I don't know, I want to say almost a year ago, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, I decided to switch over to Jekyll. And Jekyll is a publishing platform for nerds at the end of the day. It lets you write your posts in text in your favorite code editor and whatever, and it's statically generated. I don't want to get into the complexities of what Jekyll is, except to say that it's a more involved, sort of nerdy way to build your website. And that was fine, that was fun. But over the past couple months, I've been sort of transitioning into sort of a content creator person. So this podcast is part of that. I have another podcast. So I've been sort of creating a lot of content, and got to a point where with this Jekyll system, I was spending a lot of time on the look of the site and on, you know, tweaking things. And I didn't really want to spend that time anymore on that kind of thing. I wanted to focus on getting content created as quickly as possible and just pushing it up there without a lot of hassle. So I went back to WordPress, which was not a complicated jump. Luckily, I had most of the posts backed up, and I'm not going to get too much into the technical. But basically, I said, this time around, I want to care as little, not as little as possible, but I want to shift my focus away from caring about the look of the site and that kind of thing, and just focus on the content itself. So I've got a Dreamhost account now. I used to host it on my company's special custom server that we've custom built. I said, this time I'm just going to put it up on Dreamhost because I don't want to care. I actually didn't design this theme for the first time since I've had the site. I'm using a pre-made theme. I'm using Metro Pro from Genesis, from StudioPress, which I love. It's fully responsive, all that kind of good stuff. And it's funny, actually, I don't even know the password to the FTP. I didn't write it down. Because Dreamhost sort of generates it for you, and you can save it or change it later. I didn't even write it down. So right now, I don't actually have access to the back end of my site. So it's been sort of an interesting experience in that respect, because, you know, for a long time, for the past year or so, maybe even longer, I would go to different WordPress meetups and things, and people would talk about, oh, what's the best plugin to do this? Or, you know, what's the best theme that I can download? And of course, I'm in the back going, well, I build that all myself. So I don't really care what you have to say, but is approaching it differently and going in saying, I'm going to do it the way that everyone else uses WordPress. So installing plugins and, you know, trying a bunch of different ones until you find the one that does the right thing, and using a professionally made theme has been very liberating in a lot of ways. So like where I would used to go on and sort of spout all this kind of stuff about, oh, you need to have a customized website because it's so important for your business and blah, blah, blah. The truth is it's not, and it certainly hasn't been as important for me, because since I switched to this custom theme, I mean, I could tell you that the stats went up because of that, but it's not that. It's because I wasn't focusing on the theme or the look and that kind of stuff, but I was just focusing on getting good content pushed up, that my traffic is now not quite through the roof yet, but it's noticeably increasing, whereas before it was kind of stagnant.
I mean, that I think that's all great. And I really love the look of your site. And yeah, I mean, I went on to it when you changed it. And I think I recognized the theme, and I found that interesting that you were going in a direction that wasn't something you'd done completely yourself. But I think that's where design is for me, as someone who's not a designer. What I look for in a design is something that gets out of the way, something that highlights the content and doesn't become a barrier to content. I mean, where design is a problem for me is on the two ends, where there's been so much focus on the design that it becomes a barrier to good content, because then you're trying to write content to fit the design. Or on the other end, where the design is so terrible, it's a barrier to content because it's hard to read or hard to navigate, or, you know, someone has just made something so ugly that you don't want to spend time looking at it. And there's definitely a place where amateur people are able to find the sweet spot. It's not necessarily for, you know, someone who doesn't who isn't able to design themselves, they're not necessarily going to get the best website ever, but they're going to get something that's plenty good enough, something that they'll be able to see slow, steady progress for long enough that if they ever do want to do something differently, they'll have, you know, they'll have given themselves that runway.
Yeah, absolutely.
By having built a fan base and by having built a following using cheaper tools.
Yeah, I do a lot of work with actors, being in New York and having this sort of theater connection that I do. I get a lot of actors who come to me and say, hey, Chris, I need a website. And I would say 75 to 85% of the time, it'd be great for them to have a website, but they come to me thinking that they need this expensive custom sort of creation. And most of the time I say, you know what? I am glad that you've come to me, but I don't think you're ready for this right now. You need to focus on building your audience and building your fan base and that kind of thing. And for that, there are plenty of great tools out there. You know, there's webs.com and, Wix, which has gotten a lot better if you don't use their Flash tools. WordPress.com instead of your self-hosting and all that. There are so many great resources out there for building your own website. And that's not to say that I'm anti-custom websites. I mean, clearly that's where I make my living. But I think you need to give it, you know, a really hard look and say, am I ready for this?
And this, I think this is the perfect way to wrap up this episode. Thinking that you need a great, you know, beautiful website right off the bat means you're measuring the wrong thing. You're measuring your online success based on the aesthetics of your platform and not based on how it can make you more revenue, book you more gigs, book you, you know, more auditions. That's, you know, you need to be focusing on the right thing and measuring the, you know, the proper thing. And the look of your website is probably not the thing to be measuring right away. That's something you can do later.
Definitely. I think certainly at the start, just get something up, because if you're delaying because you want to have something custom, or if you keep holding off on getting the website up or putting content up there because you're like, oh, I don't like, you know, using it, it's ugly and whatever. You're so wrong. You need to focus. Yes, you should. I think you should aspire to have something custom or something, you know, even a high end, pre-made theme or whatever it is. But don't delay because of that. I think it's so, just get in there, start posting, start, you know, putting your stuff up there, putting it out there. And this could be a whole other episode, but you might not even need a website. You know, people are on Facebook and Twitter so much. Maybe you should just buy the domain name and hold it, and then throw up like an about.me or something to link people to your other presences. You don't have to have a website if that's not right for you and your business.
Exactly. I mean, one day it will become obvious when you need that sort of thing, and it'll be a great problem to have.
Definitely.
But until then, don't stress it.
For sure.
All right.
Cool. So this has been episode 9 of Not a Real Job. We'll be back next week, as always, with more rants and raves and, you know, that kind of stuff. Find us on Twitter, NARJcast. That's cast with a C. I don't think there's another way to spell cast. Where else are we?
That's really the important thing. I mean, there's no point mentioning the Facebook.
Yeah, it exists, but let's pretend it doesn't.
Yeah, really. Email us questions at Not a Real Job, and, you know, share your links, our links, with your friends, and talk about how awesome we are.
Because we are.
Very.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
All right. Bye, everybody.